You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So as you guys know, we've been going through different series as a church. And this year, if you guys remember, we're going through this big theme of go and make disciples. So as Jenny, my kids' work buddy, knows, the Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them through the Holy Spirit, baptizing them the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus taught us. So last week, Jason explored all the theme about obedience, what it is to have this joyful obedience, to follow God. And we all know that we are called to serve Jesus, not with a slave mindset, but as his friends. And I think this is what Jason explored last week. And today we explore how a life of obedience and following God lead us to a supernatural overflow. So as a church, a few years back, we went through these three key points for our Christian life that we walked through. When the first one was joyful obedience that Jason talked last week. The second one was supernatural overflow that we're going to be seeing today. The third one was generous outreach that someone's going to be talking about next week. But what I want to bring today is that whatever Jason brought last week about our obedience is that our obedience to God leads us to this place where the Spirit can bring fruit to our lives. Obedience to God is just the first step of this whole new life that we have with God. Isn't it? Our first step in saying yes to God, take us to a path of growth, of knowing Him, and the obedience is how the Spirit works to form Christ in us and Jesus is not in us. So I believe that today God invites us to be reminded that we're not just called to go, but we're also called to be. There's something that happens within us, that the Spirit works within us, that we also have to pay attention to. So the work of Jesus in the cross was not so that we can obey God, but we can live a full life that brings glory to Him. And that is only possible through the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're going to be speaking today. When I was preparing kids' work for today, they gave this picture because the kids upstairs are learning about the Holy Spirit too. So they are learning about the God that they need to know and the Holy Spirit. So they start learning about how the Spirit is their friend. And then they learn about how the Spirit is their helper, and then how the Spirit brings power, and then today they're seeing how the Spirit brings gifts. And while I was preparing the lesson, the lady gave this example of how it would be if we were to sing a song, we're missing out the third word of each sentence. So it wouldn't make sense anymore. I'll see if I can find a song here. So let's say the song that we sang today. I love you, oh you, never fails me. All days I've been your hands. When we take it off, something from those sentences, it just doesn't make sense anymore. And it's the same thing with us and the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, something's missing there. Something doesn't make sense. Our lives are incomplete without the work of the Spirit, because it's through Him and with Him that we make complete in God, mature Christians living full lives for Him. So today, I want to help you to not neglect the work of the Spirit in your life, to all of us, to engage, interact, and be active with Him, letting Him transform us. So we're going to read from Romans 8. I'm going to read quite a lot of verses to put us in the mindset of today. So we're going to read from Romans 8, 1 to 13. Romans 8, 1 to 13 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You bow down your heads and pray with me. So, Father God, we pray for this morning as you speak to us, oh God. So, what it is that the work of the Spirit doing in our lives, oh God, I pray that you help each one of us understand what does it mean, oh God, to die to our flesh and live according to your Spirit. God, I pray for our minds, our hearts, oh God, to connect with you this morning. Would you come and speak to us, oh God? Would you come and move in this place, Holy Spirit? Let our eyes and our hearts be open to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we are called to be dead for our fleshes, be dead for our fleshy desires, our body desires, and be alive in the Spirit. And this is what we're going to be exploring today. What does it mean then to have supernatural life? What does it mean to live this life following by the Spirit? Those verses that we just read talk lots about obedience that Jason was talking last week. It is like following God, changing our mindsets and following the paths of God, take us to this place where the Spirit can move in our lives. So what it is the work that the Spirit wants to do in us, and how can we not neglect what it is that he is doing? The work of the Spirit is a work of transformation. If you see all the prophecy about Jesus coming, he said that he would give us a new mind and a new heart. And this is what the Spirit does to us, isn't it? He takes us from a place of being dead to being alive, to being flesh, to become Spirit, from being dirty to become clean. The Spirit of God came so we do not fall into every scheme of the enemy anymore. He came to free us, not just the work done in the cross, but the daily work in our lives, every single thing that takes us back to a place of captivity. This is the work of the Spirit in us. And then I was meditating this, because we're talking about this lots and lots, I think, here at church. We talk about living this life of transformation. And one important thing that we always need to remind our hearts, that even though the Spirit came out as a gift, the walk in this spiritual life is an active one. We are called to participate and be active in our Christianity. This true obedience that Jason talked last week requires not just the knowledge of God and what he wants, the understanding, but requires action. It requires that we do something. And it's the same when we talk about living in the Spirit. Sometimes it seems that it's just going to happen because we are Christians and we love God and we have the Spirit of God. But the Word of God says that we need to act on it, we need to pursue. So in Galatians, it says that we need to walk by the Spirit, we need to be led by the Spirit, we need to bear the fruit of the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. They're all verbs, they're all actions, they all call us to move, to do, to act. So today is just as a reminder to each one of us that living a supernatural life, living a life full of the Spirit and full of the fruit of the Spirit requires us to move, to act. We can't stay still if we want to see the move of the Spirit in our lives. We need to pursue Him as a person. He is the God that we need to know in our daily lives. And then one big thing is that we're talking about this supernatural overflow before. We talk about the supernatural life before. And we talk maybe like the kids are talking today about the fruit of the Spirit. And we talk about speaking tongues and prophecy and pursuing the gifts of the Spirit. But actually, the most important part of our supernatural life is this transformation within that happens here. It happens here. And it is what is the Spirit does in us, isn't it? Is us being able to silence the spirit of the world that so contaminates us every day, every single day, and strengthen the spiritual man and woman that the Holy Spirit is creating us. It's by walking Him. So we walk by the Spirit, we led by the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit, not just so we can go and show Christ through our actions and through what we do, but so that we are the Christ. Yeah? Yes, we are the church. So the transformation that the Spirit brings is to change who we are, how we think, and how we act. But it comes from within, not just from the what we do in the outside. Yesterday, you had an interesting day and a half. Hold, I think I was a little bit like, you guys know, and there's so much going on. The mood that I get into. Jason was doing some cutting the grass, cutting the hair. Gardening. Things outside. And I was preparing lunch, cleaning the kitchen. The girls were helping me take off the dishwasher, and then suddenly they disappeared. I had no idea where they were. And then I went to find them outside, our front door open, and I just was like, what just happened? And then I lectured Ellie Mae to say, please don't open the front door and go without asking me if you can. Jason had headphones in, this massive cutting thing. And in my head, it's like, this is just dangerous. And if you guys know Ellie Mae, she's a chatterbox. So she asked me about every single thing all the time. Mommy, can I do this? Can I go to the toilet? Or can I wash my hands? She asked me about every single thing. But yesterday, she decided it was okay to open the front door and go out. So I wasn't happy, but it kept me thinking today that sometimes we ask God about so many things in our lives, while at the same time we neglect other areas of our life. We include God in certain aspects of our life, maybe work, maybe how I'm going to serve in the church, maybe if I should move country, but then we neglect work of the Spirit in other parts of our lives, because He wants to know how we're doing in our marriage. He wants to know the way that we are raising our children. He wants to know the way that we react with anger. He wants to know the way that we do in low times, when you're not feeling well. We can't neglect the work of spirit of the Spirit in any part of our lives. And this kept me thinking, in my life, what are the areas that I need to let the Spirit bring transformation? There's still so much more that He wants to do within me, so I can continue to form Christ here. So I'm going to read from 1 Timothy 6:11 to 12 that says, "But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." It says, fight the good fight of the faith. And this brings you the word that Jenny brought. And I think some said about battle today as well. Someone else said about battle. We are in battle daily, in battle for our souls. The enemy is trying everything he can to make us not grow Christ in us, to make the Spirit, to not let the Spirit do His work in us. And it can be that there are areas in our lives that are being neglected. They are being left to grow things that shouldn't. But we call for that battle to fight the good fight of faith, not just by going proclaim the gospel to others, proclaiming the gospel to our minds, to our hearts, to our souls. There are areas in us, there are parts of our mindsets, there are parts of our emotions that are not being obedient to God. So cannot flow in the Spirit. We cannot flow in the Spirit, the areas that we don't let the Spirit go nearby. And this is what we're going to be meditating today. What are those areas in my life that are being so neglected, that I don't let the Spirit come and transform? Even that I want to, there's something that stops. There's something that becomes a barrier that I do not let God finish His work in that area of my life. And I like here that it says, first fight. It doesn't say to just let it be in you, meditate or rest upon the things. He says, fight the good fight of faith. It requires action. Again, we walk by the Spirit, we led by the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit, keep in sight of the Spirit, but we also, we fight the good fight. And as individuals, as a church, I know that we're all going through things. I think Jason shared this during worship, that we're all going through things. I'm turning 30 this year. And every time I'm driving by myself in the car, I think it's when my mind going, do you know, retrospective, when you just start to think about everything. And I was feeling like, am I an adult now? Am I a grown up? Someone said to me, like, you're going to be a mom of 3 children? I said, yes. Still in disbelief. It's just a really strange concept of growing up. And your mind sometimes stays in a certain age, I think. But looking in retrospect about being 30, the past years, there's so much that happened. I went through grief for the first time. I've seen friends going through grief for the first time. I had friends that lost babies. I had people going through finance heartache. And it's not just a story that my mom told me about her friend. It was actually my friends, people that I know. Now, I was thinking, maybe this is growing up. It is seeing life how it is. It is not an easy road, an easy path. And it's actually those type of things that happens, the dissolutions, the hard paths, the things that don't go as quite right, that shape us, that help us to learn how it is to fight this good fight. Because being maybe in practice mode is completely different of being battle. I'm not from military, Ash, I have no idea. But I guess if one day someone just put me in battle of not know what to do if you didn't have any practice. And I think there's so much things that happens in our lives. It's just that we can learn how to fight this good fight, how to shape our mindsets, our hearts, to be ready to grow in what God has for us to grow. And sometimes we think, actually, I'm struggling with life. I'm struggling with this, and this is happening. But the word of God doesn't use the word struggle. It doesn't say for us to struggle with life, to struggle with what comes to us. He says for us to fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Today, I'm here just to call your souls, each one of your souls, to fight the good fight of the faith. If you are in war, if you are in battle, the threats that come to us, this is why the Spirit is here. This is why we have this God that we need to know, is because He's the one that empowers us to fight the good fight of the faith. So just a reminder, when your mind tells you that you're struggling, that your mind tells you that it is too hard, it is too grown-up life, it's too big, the Holy Spirit is to remind us that we're not struggling, we're fighting. We are fighting forward. We're not being intimidated by the threats of the enemy, but we're being shaped and formed the character of Christ within us. And you're not alone in this. And that's the most important thing, is that our struggles and things that happen to us, they don't define us. What's defining who we are, who He's creating us to be, is Him, is the Holy Spirit. The character He's forming within us. In our hearts, in our minds, and even in our bodies, He's the one defining us. I was reminding when I was preparing this, the story of Joseph and his whole journey of going from favored son to slave, then to prisoner, everything he had gone through. And if you guys remember, when he was young, he had all these dreams, isn't he? All this hope coming from God, what he was going to be and what his future looked like. But actually, for him growing up in his 30s, he was found in a prison. He was found, he was slaved, and then he was accused, and then he was in this place of despair, no hope at all. And then you see years passed, when he had this opportunity, he grabbed straight away. He was ready to do what God had for him to do. He was ready to go because he let God shape his mind and his heart. And then when he was faced with his brothers, and that could be like the most important part of his life that would determine his character, his response was, everything that happened to me, all the struggles in my life, was because God had this all planned out. For this to happen, He has a purpose. And it's the same in us. We already know the story. And I think that's the big contradiction in our lives, that even though we go through all this hardship, we already know the end of the story. We already know what's going to happen. We already have this hope. God already gave this dream, like just Joseph had the dream. God already gave us this dream. We're going to have eternal life. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be completely transformed. Struggles no more. But in our day to day, it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't seem like that. And that's the heartbeat, isn't it? It's letting the Spirit transform what is hard today, what it feels impossible today. So for tomorrow, we can bring the right fruit, the supernatural fruit. And we live in a natural world, but with that supernatural mindset that comes from the Spirit. And day by day, we're invited to see each area of our lives with a supernatural mindset, with supernatural view of it. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So we are called, again, to be active with our spiritual lives. And he's using the example here about physical training and compare with godliness. We practice our godliness. We practice letting the Spirit transform those areas of our lives. Because this holding promise, not just for today, it's not going to make my life easy today, but actually it's going to take me to the place I want to be tomorrow, and that place is with God. And being a follower of Jesus, we're not built in one day. It's not like, accept Jesus, I'm obeying Him, it's all good, it's all ready. It's actually day by day, moment by moment, is living life with Him. And it sometimes it's being as annoying as that it can be. Say, "Mommy, how does this work, and why? And why is this?" And we need to be the same with God, each area of our lives. We are called to let Him, submit to Him. And this is when the supernatural happens. Without us realizing, that area of our life has been completely transformed because we surrender that area to this work of the Spirit. So it may be the way that you react to things that happen in your house, or it may be the way that some bad news are received to your heart. All those areas that we find hard to speak to someone, or we even find hard to understand in our minds, those are the areas that need to be given to Him. We can't neglect the work of the Spirit. And that's the war within us. That's the Paula, the Jason, Sandra, the Jenny, the Margaret, the Levi, that no one sees but Him, the Holy Spirit. There's a war within each one of us. There's an author that wrote this book called Holiness. His name is J.C. Ryle. And he says, "The child of God has two great marks about him. He may be known by his inward warfare as well as by his inward peace." So there's war that happens, and there's peace because we know the end and we know the work the Spirit is doing. And the article that I found, that is said this sentence that I want to read. "The same gospel that brings peace with God brings war with sin. For to say Jesus is Lord is also to say, and sin is not. And to follow Jesus is to walk with high-handed rebellion against the devil. So the same Spirit who wraps us with heavenly comfort also clouds us with the armor of God." It's that image that Jenny brought. We are in battle. We are there battling with our sin, with all those places in our minds and hearts that do not submit to God, to the mindset of His kingdom. But at the same time, He brings in us in His arms. Even in the things that we call struggle, and we're battling with them, trying to put them in the perspective of God, the Spirit gives us this armor and dresses us in the armor for battle. It's the same Spirit that takes us as a newborn baby to the arms of the Father. And that's the peace within us. We are soldiers, we battle. But we're also sons and daughters. We have a place to go. We have a place to be. And today, I really want to... I always think I'm going to be really, like, expressive and be able to say, but even though I cannot do it with my flesh, I want to do it with my Spirit, that we're going to pray today. We're going to pray for one another. Gonna pray for this battle that which one is living, even though we don't know what it is for each one. The spirit in us knows, and there's some powerful that happens when we pray, when you ask God to be part of the equation. The equation today is that there are areas in our lives that we need to let the spirit move and act and bring transformation. The war within us is not to destroy us, but it's to make us ready for the purpose that God has for each one of us. Supernatural overflow and living a life with the Spirit is simply letting the Spirit be the one who leads us in every area of our lives. It's just letting Him be the one who determines and guides how our lives look like, how our reactions look like, what comes out from our minds, the overflow that comes from us, so we may go and bless others, comes from this preparation, this battle, this fighting the good faith that produces fruit for eternal life that holds promise for both now and for eternity. So, should we find space and people? So if you join with one or two other people, we're going to pray for each other now. We're going to spend some time just praying for each other. This war that happens within each one of our hearts and minds when we struggle, we think we're struggling. There's so many things happening in our lives, but God is calling us to fight and let the Spirit have space in different areas of our lives.